Well, good evening. Thank you. That was great. Are we ready for session four?
Yeah.
Can you believe that we're 4 weeks in? Who's been here all 4 weeks? Oh, wow. Look at that attendance. Your parents would be proud if they only knew. Awesome. 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 Well, if you don't know me by chance, my name is Xavier Small, and I am the counseling pastor here at Rosedale. I'm also a licensed therapist. Happy I get to bridge the gap between mental health and the church. Blah, 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 blah. You probably can quote it. I say it so much. All right, but it's good to see you all today. Before I forget, let's just go ahead off the bat and just ask God for his help. Then we'll go ahead and we'll jump into it and have a great time. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and for your Son, for the finished work on the cross. Father, I just thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to spend time and to commune over your word. Your word says where two or three are gathered, that you're right there in the midst, Lord. So we pray that you'd be given honor and glory through our time together. Father, by the end of this time, Father, it's my prayer that we would just be more emotionally intelligent people. Even as I instruct this course, Lord, like help me to get these refreshers and to apply them to my own life. Father, our only goal is to give you glory. We'll give you all the honor for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you have not been here all 4 weeks, here's what you kind of missed out on. We started off on session one with emotional acknowledgement, talking about just giving space to our emotions, just giving space to them. We typically, as a people, are not very big fans of doing so. And so we started off just saying, all right, you got to give room for it. Well, then we jumped into emotional awareness, and that is being able to shift from just providing the space for it to then shifting to being able to identify it, identifying what you're feeling. Are you happy? Are you sad? Are you perplexed? Are you insert emotion there? Then last week, we moved into what was my personal favorite so far of the series was emotional acceptance. And that's being able to learn how to just sit with the emotion. To just sit. Allow yourself to explore what you're going through without judgment, without trying to change or shift it. And I say we always skip that step. We skip that step by jumping right to fixing a problem. And sometimes we haven't even fully sorted what we're feeling before we try to start plugging holes. You may have heard me say it before, but being resilient is a great thing. But being resilient is not healing. Being resilient is not healing. They are not the same thing. And so my heart in it is for us to be able to work on this and get this skill set down. Tonight, we start emotional adaptability. Emotional adaptability. This is where some of that resilience piece is going to come in. Right? How well you can adapt to what's happening, to what you're going through, to what you're dealing with. We're going to spend a lot of time in the Word tonight. I was almost like, I'm not sure how. I actually have way more stuff prepared for you tonight than can fit in your bifold. Way more. Like, I was just through the pastor hat and I was like, baby, I'm out of room. I'm not sure how to do that. So I hope you brought a notebook. You get that technical, that extra page on the back. Good luck. I'm not sure what to tell you. All right. I talk too much. I'm sorry. Okay. So we're going to jump into that. If you happened to miss the first 3 weeks of this episode, and you are wanting to catch up, you can scan this QR code right here on the screen, and this will take you to the Martian Talk podcast. And this is my personal podcast, and all that's on it is our workshops. And so you'll get Mind Games 1, Eye to Us, our series on relationships, and then all the episodes that have been up so far. Those of you with the bifolds, have you noticed, like, okay, so one of my favorite things to do this time around is that I've loved the colors inside of the Game Boy. And so if you notice, the background to the bifold every week has been one of the colors from the Game Boy. Oh, you might not care, but I was having some extra fun with doing that. So now you can look forward to it moving forward. It'll take you to this landing page. If you're not on Spotify, you can click more platforms. And it will take you to probably about somewhere between like 6 and 7 more platforms that Martian Talk is on. All right, are you guys ready for me to stop jabbing at random stuff and get to the topic tonight?
Let's go.
All right, let's do it. All right, tonight we're talking about emotional. I love the charisma, the fervor behind that. That's the energy that fires me up. I need it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Emotional adaptability is defined as is referring to the ability to effectively understand, manage, and respond to one's own emotions, as well as the emotions of others in a variety of situations. It encompasses a range of skills and characteristics, including emotional intelligence, flexibility, resilience, empathy, and self-awareness. All right, so this is your ability to respond. To respond to one's own emotions. And that's what we're working on. So you guys thought that this was all going to be conceptual. This is probably going to be one of the only ones tonight where in the series where the therapist hat is purely practical. Like, even in some of the, the other ones, like, there are practical elements, but this is largely conceptual, right? Because I'm not meeting with you one-on-one to talk about how this tailors to your personal experience. This is gonna, the therapist hat I'm excited for is gonna have a lot of things for you to look at. If you can look at your bifold, actually, that whole sheet is just blanks so that you can fill it in. We're gonna have a good time, okay? So first off, what are the benefits? So what if I do this? So what if I can work on becoming more emotionally adept? What does that change? Well, first, it helps you to recognize and understand your emotions. People who can do this are aware of their own emotions and can identify what they are feeling at any given moment. They also can read and interpret the emotions of others. So what you'll find out is, here's the truth. We all experience emotions, all of us. So guess what? If I'm experiencing sadness, I probably have an idea of what it's like for someone else to experience sadness. You see what I'm saying? It's actually, and I've talked about this before, of like psychoanalysis, of being able to like look at people and get to and read them and how it feels so invasive sometimes. Well, it's because I'm trained to read people holistically. Right. And so as you work on your own emotional health and identification, you'll be able to recognize and understand not only your emotions, but the emotions of others. The second benefit is to regulate and to manage your emotions. These people can control their emotional responses, maintain composure under pressure, and adjust their emotions to match the context of a situation. You know how you know that you're doing well at adapting to your emotions? Is that even in situations where you are caught off guard by a comment, or by an event, or an experience that you had internally where you understand and you realize something for the first time, to be able to see that and interact with that and it not completely shake your whole world. Does that make sense? Like, it's your ability to kind of see that and regulate quickly. They can control their emotional responses, not fly off the handle. They can maintain their composure even when they're under pressure. These are those moments when you're feeling stressed, when you're feeling pressed by someone else or by your circumstances. And they can adjust their emotions to match the context of the situation. We saw in Ecclesiastes, there's a time and place for everything. There's a time and place for everything. So being able to realize that regulation is muy importante. Like, we got to be able to get that down well. So first benefit is to recognize and understand your emotions, to regulate and manage your emotions. Third, to respond flexibly. These people can adapt their emotional responses to suit different scenarios and people. Weep with those who weep. Yeah? Rejoice with those who rejoice. This is not putting on a face. The word hypocrite literally translates to wearing multiple faces. That's a drama term. That's not the same thing. That's not what we're talking about. It's your ability to read the room, right? To read the room. That's being flexible, demonstrating flexibility in how they interact with others. There are going to be times where you're going to need to be stronger than you feel. There are going to be some moments where you're going to have to hold it together so that you can get through a task or interaction with an individual. If I'm being transparent, I'm fine with being vulnerable. I got some really hard news the other night while I was filming doing a podcast episode with a couple of friends. And I had just got some really, like, honestly earth-shattering news for me, as someone that I love is actually in critical condition right now and has been that way since last Friday. And I walked in that and I could feel myself like, I'm gonna break down. And like, but I knew that I was here at this thing. There's a room full of people who are trying to get this production going. Like, it's very like, and I was like, you gotta hold it together. And I was able to look and say, and here's what happens. And it only happens in a second, but I was able to say, all right, Xavier, Like, I know how we feel, but we just got to get through this. We'll deal with it. We'll deal with it. I'm not a stuffer. That's exhausting. I'm being transparent. I'm not a stuffer. Can't do it. That's too tiring for me, right? But being able to know that there's a time and a place for everything. And I dealt with my emotions after, right? Called who I had to call, you know, expressed how I felt to who I had to express how I felt. But being able to be flexible in those circumstances. Fourth, being able to empathize with others. Being able to empathize with others. Empathy and sympathy are not the same thing, right? Sympathy is saying like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry that that happened to you. Empathy says, I can understand why that's affecting you the way that it's feeling. It's an attempt to put yourself in the shoes of someone else, right? To see things from their perspective, from their vantage point. Someone who is able to be to have the skill of emotional adaptability can bounce back from adversity. This is that resilience. Can they recover from emotional setbacks? Showing resilience in the face of challenges and stress. Right? This is your ability to get back up. I talk with my clients who have depression. And I'll say that it's not, I never said it was easy. I said it was necessary. You gotta get up. You cannot lay in that bed every day. You gotta get up. You gotta get moving. Go take a shower. Go brush your teeth. Get up. It's hard. I know, sweetheart. I know. But you gotta get up. You cannot lay there. Right? And even with my grief clients, as I work with them tactfully, you give them that space. But after a while, we're like, all right, we got to get that grieving into something that is more controllable. You can't stay in that space. You cannot stay there. A merry spirit doeth good like a medicine, right? But a sorrowful spirit will dry those bones up. There's a direct correlation. You heard me say it. There's a direct correlation between your mental health and your emotional health. And right, we're mental, emotional, physical, spiritual, physiological. And if there is a chink in any of those areas, the rest of them will be directly affected in time. So this is saying, yes, work through what you're working through and give yourself the space, but eventually there must come a time where you have to get up. Because emotional setbacks, and this, if you're dealing with an emotional setback right now, this won't be the last time you deal with one. More are going to come. And what's going to happen? You'll drown if you keep letting those waves knock you down like that. We have to be able to both give ourselves time to work through what we're working through, and then we also have to give ourselves the space to say, all right, enough is enough. I have to get up. That doesn't mean that you stop dealing with your feelings. That doesn't mean that you sweep it under the rug and pretend like it never happened. It just says, and that's why I'm not a big fan of moving on, because moving on is like it didn't exist. But moving forward is the goal. They're not the same thing. Moving forward says, no matter what I'm experiencing, I'm taking this with me, and I'm going to press onward, right? Moving on is that pretending like it didn't exist. It's done. Move on. Forget it. They're not synonymous, okay? So these are the benefits off the bat of what it means to be emotionally adaptable. So now that you got the warm-up, let's talk about what God has to say. How does God say that we should adapt emotionally? And this is where we start to look at how there is not enough space in your bifold. So I apologize in advance. Actually, I don't apologize because I told you so already. All right. How does God say we should adapt? First, by recognizing our emotions first. By recognizing our emotions first. Psalm 13, verses 1 and 2 says, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Can we see the weight and the gravity of this psalm? I'm going to read it again. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? We see some important things happening in this psalm. First, there's a recognition of sorrow. There's a recognition of sorrow. How long wilt thou forget me? That place of feeling alone, feeling isolated. Anybody ever been there before? Spiritually asking God, where are you at? Where are you at? Why would you? Why? Why would you let this happen? Like, how long are you going to forget me? Don't you see me here? I'm fighting to just to catch a breath. I'm fighting to just to make it. And I'm waiting for you as my Heavenly Father, the God who they told me I could run to when I'm overwhelmed, the one who's supposed to not give me a stone when I ask for food or not give me a serpent when I have those needs, the God who's supposed to be Alpha and Omega and beginning of the end, the God who's supposedly all on time, the God who supposedly, that when I can't trace his hand, I can trust his heart. Where are you at? How long will you mourn? There's a recognition of sorrow. There's also a recognition of indefinite despair. A recognition of indefinite despair. What does he say? He says, how long will thou forget me? But then look what he says. How long? Forever? Forever? God, will I endure this indefinitely? If I had a dollar for every time someone sat across from me and said, I see no way out. I see no hope. I can't see how this is going to get any better. I'd be a very wealthy man. Very wealthy. Can I encourage you and say that that is a natural human phenomenon? Because here's the truth. Even though weeping endures for a night, knowing that joy comes in the morning, baby, that nighttime feels like it can last a very long time. And it's important for you to recognize when you're in that space, how long will thou forget me? Forever? Forever? But there's not only a recognition of sorrow and a recognition of indefinite despair, there's also a recognition of abandonment. How long will you hide your face from me? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? God, you see me standing right here. Why would you look away? Well, you look away, and this is when we start to work down our spiritual resume, right? God, I've been saved X amount of time, and I've served you X amount of time, and I spend this much time in my Bible, and I spend this much time in prayer. And God, where are you at? Where are you? How can you abandon me? If you love me, why would you? We've done it. God, where are you at? Abandoning me. There's a recognition of sorrow. There's a recognition of indefinite despair. There's a recognition of abandonment. There's a recognition of inadequacy. He says, how long will I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will I take counsel in my soul, seeing that I'm sorrow in my heart daily? That word counsel means to receive direction or advice or a path from. He says, God, I'm trying to hold it myself together. He says, God, how long am I supposed to be able to uphold or uplift myself? Every day I'm in this sorrowful state. I have no stamina left. I'm done. I'm maxed out. God, I'm pouring from an empty cup. How long am I going to have to do that? God, seeing that I had sorrow in my heart daily, I'm not dependable. I am not dependable for me. God, I'm struggling. How long will I be in this state? But then he rounds these verses out with a recognition of defeat and mistreatment. How long will my enemy be exalted over me? God, this is indefinite. Weapons, Lord, are forming against me. God, they are about to prosper. They're about to beat me. They're about to win. How long will it be this way? How long will I be at the bottom of the barrel? How long will I be losing in this fight? It's important to be able to recognize our emotions. I think David in this psalm did a powerful job of recognizing some very deep emotions. Sorrow, despair, abandonment, inadequacy, defeat, mistreatment. Many feelings that you and I suffer often. Psalm 42:3. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Interesting passage. My tears have been my meat. What do we see here? That there's a recognition of being famished, right? My tears have been my meat, meaning my only sustenance has been my sorrow. If you ever have been depressed, or you know somebody who's depressed, eating feels like a huge chore. Trying to just get like your body engaged, to get like to get the process starting on getting your mouth muscles to chew the food feels exhausting. Depression can be so crippling. He says, my tears have been my meat daily. He said, this is all that I've got. This is all that I've got. But there's also a recognition of an inability to do much else. My tears have been my meat day and night. It's not just like, oh, I'm not eating a little bit. He's like, all that I've been able to do is been in a state of sorrow. And it's like that all the time, around the clock. In the morning when I rise, I'm sorrowful. In the night when I lay my head down, I'm sorrowful. And the next morning when I lift my head again, I'm sorrowful. And when I lay my head down again the next night, then I'm sorrowful. And it's hard to break out of that state. But there's also a recognition of hopelessness. He says, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually, his tears, continually say unto me, where is thy God? Where is thy God? I prayed for God to save his life. I prayed for that. And if God really loved me, if God really cared for me, he would have pulled through. He would have done that, and he did not. And all my tears can say to me is, where's God? The psalmist said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? That ability to turn your attention inward for a second to recognize where you are. God says, if you want to be able to be more emotionally adept, you have to be able to recognize your emotions first. But second, you have to display a total dependence on God. How do I navigate my emotions? How do I get a good grasp on emotional adaptability? I have to be able to display a total dependence on God. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. He shall direct thy paths. What do we see here? What does this require? A total dependence on God. Well, first, it requires total trust in God. Total trust in God. Being able to say, God, no matter what happens, no matter where you go, no matter what we do, I'm believing in your ability to take care of it all. Someone said that if it's not good, it's like in the end, it'll be okay. And if it's not okay, it's not the end, right? But in order for us to walk in that mindset, we have to have a total trust that God's got it. I want you to take a second to do some self-reflection. Has that been you? In the middle of your circumstances, whether it be emotional or mental or physical or financial, or no matter what's going on, have you been able to say, God, I trust in you, the all-time undefeated champion. I trust you. I trust you for sustenance. I trust you to carry me the rest of the way. But check this out. It's not only a total trust in God, it's a total distrust in your own understanding. It's not just a total trust in God, it's a total distrust in your own understanding. Guess what? My emotions are fickle. And do you know that God is not a God who operates on logic? If you think back over your life as a believer, God has done stuff that makes zero sense. Where did that come from? How did they pull through that? How did we make it out of this situation? How on earth did I heal? If we lean on our own understanding, we are doomed. Pastor, where is that in Scripture? There is a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end are the ways of what? Who knows it? Death. There's a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end are the ways of death. I cannot afford to trust in me. In order for me to trust God and take care of this and navigate this circumstance, I have to completely remove myself. John says, I must decrease so that he can increase. Completely and totally out of the way. So it's total trust in God. It's total distrust in our own understanding. It's total surrender to the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. In all thy ways. Am I filtering this through a spiritual lens? Am I filtering this through a God is sovereign kind of lens? If I try to do it in my own power, there's no way that I can carry God-sized problems. I can't do it. I have to be able to filter it through saying, like, God, I'm going to have to just give this all to you. I'm going to have to lay all of this on the altar. My worries, my woes, my feelings, my circumstances, all the things that's happening right now. When no, it doesn't feel good, and no, I'm not happy, and no, I'm having a difficult time putting a smile on my face, and that's okay. But at the end of the day, tears and all, I'm going to bring that thing soaked in my remorse and my mourning to God and lay it at his feet. Because he's the one that's going to be able to take care of it, not me. Not me. Total dependence on God requires total surrender. And then last in this section, being able to have a total dependence on God requires a total confidence that he will iron it all out. A total confidence that God will finish what he started. A total confidence that Abba is my father. Stronger than any handgun or any rocket launcher or tank or military or world power, or it doesn't matter what it is. I have access to the strongest weapon in the universe. When Jesus died on that cross and rent the veil between me and God, I had unlimited access into the Holy of Holies. And guess what? You do too. But you know what James says? That if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who give to all men liberally and upbraideth not. But there's a condition to that. Let him ask in faith. How much wavering? Who knows it? Nothing. Nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave tossed to and fro. And what is the outcome of that? Let not that man think that he shall receive what? Anything. From God. Anything. Guess what? If you look at that, it is an all or nothing. It is an all or nothing. Why? Because God is an all or nothing God. If anyone lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally, freely, with excess and overabundance. And he says, this is what I want to give you. I want to fill you up with this. If you want it, I will give it to you indefinitely. I think Solomon was the embodiment of that. Of like, all right, God, I want to do it how you want to do it. And God allotted him to be the most wise man of all time. The wisdom parameters are boundless. He says there's one condition. If you're asking me for it, you have to wait on it. You have to be willing to stick it out. I see that giant. I know he's big. I see that wall. I know it's high. That wind and those waves is boisterous. I know. I know. But hey, Peter, hey, eyes on me. Eyes on me. If you waver, it's done. It's null. If we are going to renege on how we approach God, the result of that is a big fat zero. Some of us need to go and get on our knees tonight before God and say, God, I have not been fully surrendered. I have not been fully committed. I have not been fully trusting. I have not had full confidence in you. And because of that, I'm lacking and I'm in my own way. God, it's yours indefinitely. Through tears, through gritted teeth, God, it's yours. Because if you waver, it's moot. It's moot. And the truth is that a lot of us as believers are skipping rope with it. Giving it to God and then reneging and then giving it to God and then reneging. And God's like, I'm not even paying attention to that. You're not getting anything. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. You're that wave tossed to and fro. I'm not giving you jack. If you trust me, mean it. full and total confidence that I'm going to take care of this. I know it's scary. I'm not saying don't be afraid. I'm not saying those things. I'm saying that when you realize what time I am afraid, I can what in God? Come on, y'all. I can trust in Him. Trust is not the absence of fear. It's overcome. Come on, y'all. You want to get emotionally adapt from a biblical perspective? You have to be able to recognize where you're at and say, yeah, but God's got it. Complete and total confidence. How does God say we should be adapt? I'm not preaching my opinion. We're looking at the Word of God. First, by recognizing your emotions first. Second, by displaying a complete and a total dependence on God. Third, by finding peace in prayer. By finding peace in prayer. I don't want to spend this time on this too long because we've looked at this verse a lot. But Proverbs, it's actually not Proverbs 3, I'm sorry. It's actually Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Really quickly, what does this require? Finding peace in prayer, it requires us to not focus on worry. To not focus on worry. Be careful for nothing. Worry about nothing. But while you're not focusing on worry, what you are focusing on is prayer and supplication. To petition, to beg, to come before God continually. Men shall always pray and not faint. Men ought always pray and not faint. To focus on peace that passes all understanding. He's not dangling the carrot in front of you. He says, this is attainable. Yeah, but my circumstances are horrible. God knows that your circumstances are horrible. He's omniscient, remember? But a peace that passes all understanding is non-contingent on your circumstances. Non-contingent. There's a little meme that I like that's really funny. And it's a little dog with a little hat on sitting at a coffee table with a cup of coffee. And literally his entire house is on fire. And the caption in it just says, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Is it actually okay? No. But when you have that peace that passes all understanding, what? Peace in that sovereignty that God's got it. The entire house can burn down. You remember what happened when I believe in the Bible, if I'm wrong, correct me, but I believe it was Lazarus. It was one of the people that got risen from the dead. And the part that I'm trying to focus on here is that when Jesus finally connected with their family, it might have been Mary who said it. What was her expectation? Do you guys know? Jesus tarried, but what was her expectation that Jesus was going to do? Who knows? Huh? But after he's died. Remember, he tarried. And she said something very important that we might be missing. Huh?
She said if he'd been here, he wouldn't have died.
Right. Right. That was Martha. What about Mary? The expectation that you were going to raise him. The expectation that you were going to raise him. You were going to do something. You were going to do something. Imagine if we adapt the mentality that, yeah, this situation is dead as a doornail. But God is going to do something. Something's coming out of this. When you focus on that peace that passes all understanding, it's like God's going to show up because that's the kind of God he is. That's the kind of business that he's into. And if I walk into any situation with that foreknowledge, I'm like, yeah, this is burning down to the ground right in front of my eyes, but so be it, because God has got it. And something is going to come out of this. And I don't even know that if I'll see that result on this side of heaven. But what I do know is that God is not going to be made a fool by any circumstances. No way. No way. Nothing blindsides God. Sickness does not blindside God. Getting laid off at work does not blindside God. Going through hardship does not blindside God. God sees all of those things in every scenario. I take it a step further. He saw it before it happened. I take it a step further. He already prepared for the finality before it happened. I take it a step further. He provided for the provision for that before it even happened. That's how the way that God works. We have to develop a spiritual foreknowledge that God is already at the end of that. That's why we have the peace that passes all understanding. Because I don't care if my car broke down on 95. In the end, something's coming out of this. A change is coming out of this. And I have to be able to get my emotions in check. That's how you adapt. Saying like, yeah, right now I'm distraught and you should be. Right now I'm freaking out and I should be. Right now I'm stressed out and I should be. But in the end, joy is going to come in the morning. And if I know that from this spot, baby, you are in a league by yourself. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
That's how you adapt. You got to know the outcome. This wasn't to us, but it was to the Jews. But the concept, I believe, applies to us. Jeremiah 29. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. That was not to me. That was to Israel. But that displays the heart of God. That displays the heart of God. You don't think God knew that Jesus was going to the cross? So what was the fail-safe? What did he do? He was going to the cross. He was going to leave. So what was God preparing that they didn't know until the end? Who knows? What was he doing? What was going to take the place? The Holy Spirit. I will not leave you what? Someone talk to me, church, and read your Bible, right? I will not leave you what? Comfortless. While I'm going to prepare a place for you, I'm sending my comforter. Jesus in his omniscience was everywhere, but now the Holy Spirit that indwells every single believer, walking with God continually. My comforter, my spirit, who will guide and teach you in all things, who will comfort you. Yeah, Jesus was going to the cross, but guess who else? Guess what else is going to happen? I'm dispatching the Holy Spirit right behind him to pick up where he left off and carry you the rest of the way until I return again. We have to have an end in sight kind of mind. And if you read the entire Bible and read the back of the book, we win. Imagine if you switched your mindset to a victorious mindset. Then depression, count your days. Count them. Anxiety, count your days. Stress, count your days. Financial hardship, count your days. Why? Because it's weeping right now. It's dark right now. But joy is coming. Why? Because that's the way he operates. That's how you adapt. How long will you leave me in this state? As long as it's necessary, Lord. That's the answer. How long will my enemies be risen up against me? As long as it takes, should be the answer. How long will I have to seek counsel within myself, seeing that I sorrow daily? As long as it takes. Why? Because God is on the way. God is on the way. I need to be prepared. I, Xavier, need to be prepared indefinitely. If it means I have to wait 1,000 years for God to show up, knowing that he will should be in as much consolation as him actually being in the room. Why? Because the end result is still the same. Do you trust God like you say you do? Your walk talks and your talk talks, but does your walk talk like your talk talks? It's easy to play church. It's easy to wear a nice suit and put on your Steve Madden shoes. It's easy to wear your King James Bible and flip to that page without using your index. It's easy to sing all the songs in front. But let me see what's going to happen when you're right in the smack dab middle of that valley. Let's see if you still have it. Sunday morning Christians is not going to fly in the kingdom of God. I wish you were hot or cold, but because you are lukewarm, I will spew thee from my mouth. Revelation 3. God does not want lukewarm Christians. He says, I wish you were hot or cold. Shoot, pick a side. I'd rather you be cold and away from me than to be on this fence riding it like you are. Pick a side. Trust me or don't. Today's the day that you choose. I love what Joshua said. I don't care what the rest of y'all have going on. This day we will serve the Lord. This day my house is going to serve the Lord. I'm not sure what else y'all are doing, but that's what my house is doing. We're trusting God to see this through to the end. And when we worship, nobody's going to tell me that I told you so because I knew it already. It's application time. It's application time. We took 3 weeks. We took 3 weeks pacifying some emotions. No more. Now it's time to adapt. Now it's time to adapt. We made the space for it. Okay. We identify what we're going through. Okay. Shoot, we're even sitting with it sometimes. Okay. But now we have to adapt. The peace of God which passes all understanding. Guess what? That's how it keeps you. Let me tell you a secret about salvation. That when Xavier Small accepted Christ to be his personal Lord and Savior, you know what that meant? That the same gospel that saved me was going to be the same gospel that's going to keep me the rest of the way. Do you understand that? The same gospel that saved you when you bowed your head and asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you from those sins that were sending you to an eternal hell and eternal separation from Jesus Christ is the same exact power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. It's the exact same power that's going to take you the rest of the way. You better fight like you know that you're victorious already. It's time to adapt. It's time that we get up and adapt. 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 By recognizing our emotions first. By displaying a total dependence on God. By finding peace in prayer. Oh, there it is. By managing your anger. By managing your anger. You know why this is cut? Well, you know why these came in succession like that? Because that's what we do. It's not long in the moments of our despair before we start raising that little fist at God. But be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon thy wrath. I'm not even going to park here because we spent a lot of time on it and we're going to revisit it again. So I'm moving on. How do we adapt? Point three was by finding peace in prayer, but point five is by working on prayer. By working on prayer. How do we adapt? By working on prayer. James chapter 1 verses 1 and 2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." How do we become adapt by working on prayer? Well, what does this require? This requires looking for joy in difficult times. Looking for joy in difficult times. My brethren, count it all joy. And you know what Paul said? I love he said the opposite. He said, "I count it all dung. All the things that I've done, count it all dung." You know why? It's an all or nothing kind of life. An all or nothing kind of life. I need you to look inside your heart tonight and ask, have I been trying to play both sides? Have I been straddling the fence or have I been completely and totally dependent on the Lord? He says, "My brethren, count it all joy," that as soon as that transmission went out in that car, oh, that's awful. But guess what? God's, praise God. I'm going to count it all joy. I'm going to count it all joy when I fall into diverse temptations, various trials. Right? Why? Because first, it requires us to look for joy in difficult times. But second, remembering that trying your faith equates to better patience. The trying of your faith, it worketh patience. Guess what? You know that when you work out, that it's not that when you lift weights, it tears your muscles. Do you understand that? How many of y'all knew that? Well, you learned some things tonight if you didn't. When you work out, it's actually tearing your muscles. But do you know that that's not where the growth comes from? The growth comes in the rest. When it recovers stronger. If I'm thinking, again, because here's what I'm doing tonight. I'm trying to shift our framework tonight. Do you see that? I'm trying to shift your framework tonight. Because if you're now focused, you're behind the eight ball. If you're future focused, you're ahead. Count it all joy. The trying of my faith worketh patience. But it also requires to let patience work to be perfected in you. Let patience have her perfect work. Let her do her job. Let her do her job. Be still and know that I am God. Right? The Lord shall fight for you and you will hold your peace. Are you giving God time to show up? Let me remind you that if that's due at 12 o'clock, God can be ready at 11:59, 59, 59, 59, 59, 59. There is no last minute with God. He's right on time indefinitely. Put the watch up. Close the phone screen, close the laptop, put the tablet away. Stop watching the clock so much and just say, I know God's gonna come through because that's what he does. I know that's what he does. He's gonna take care of me. This also requires you to realize that the end goal is fullness, completeness, and contentment. Let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. In the end, you will achieve a full spiritual maturation. That can only come by being patient in your trials. Contrary to popular belief, God's not going to let you just go through something just to go through it. It's not how he works. There's always a master plan. And God can use any of the circumstances. You know that we know that all things work together. All things, because guess what? In God, there is no bad thing. He uses the good for his good. He uses the bad for the good. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. All of the things are good. Just like bad examples are still examples. You learned, didn't you? Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Lastly, how does God say we should adapt? By working on gentleness. By working on gentleness. I don't have points for this. I just want to show you the scriptures. By working on gentleness, Galatians 5:2 tells us that it's a fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such is no law. I almost included self-control in tonight's study. I almost did. Almost did. It's a fruit of the Spirit to be gentle in these times. How else do we work on it? 2 Timothy 2 verse 24 tells us that it's a condition of a servant of the Lord, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Unto all men. Colossians 3, verse 12 tells us to wear it like a garment. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. You know how powerful of a skill it is to be able to maintain that level of gentleness when everything around you is calling for you to be contrary? Here's the truth. For most things, whatever that thing is that would cause you to come unglued was most likely justified. That thing that happened to you that spiraled you into a deep, dark depression was probably justified. Anxiety flying through the roof over that situation, it's most like I expect that kind of response. But to maintain a level of gentleness, no matter what state you're in, is a difficult task. God says in Colossians 3 to wear it like a garment. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. And you might say, Pastor Xavier, why are you talking about gentleness and emotional control? It's because that's going to teach you to respond well no matter what's happening around you. I don't see how that applies. You mean when you came home from work and you took it out on your kids? Were you gentle then? No, you were emotionally out of control then, is what it was. You see what I mean? It's not long before whatever is bubbling up inside of us. Keep the heart with all diligence, right? Because out of it are all issues of life. it's not long before what's happening and breaking down intrinsically becomes an external component. Can you maintain that composure still, even when everything else is falling apart? Gentle. Gentle. Quickly, we're going to jump over to the therapist hat. What does this look like practically? Practically, I gave you all the spiritual stuff to think through and apply it to your heart and meditate on those scriptures and apply this, but now I'm going to give you 12 fast facts. 12 fast facts on how you work on emotional adaptability practically. You ready? Number one, physical activity. Physical activity. Engaging in regular physical activity like jogging, yoga, dancing, or sports can help manage stress and provide a natural outlet for emotions. Exercise can boost endorphins, which can improve mood. Coping skills. Self-care. That's what this is. Getting yourself engaged in these things to help you boost, kind of catapult you out of that place. It helps you to adapt to your situations. Second, creative expression. Creative outlets such as painting, drawing, music, or creative writing allows you to express emotions in nonverbal ways. Art therapy can be particularly useful for exploring and releasing suppressed emotions. You know why play therapy is so powerful? Because that little baby is traumatized by what happened, but she can draw a picture about it. She can draw a picture about what happened. Who's that? Who's that scary monster right there? And they'll tell you exactly who it is. What they wouldn't be able to comfortably say face to face can come out through their expression. If that's something that you have, use it. How do you adapt? Grounding techniques. Grounding exercises can help you stay connected to the present moment when emotions become overwhelming. Techniques like 5-4-3-2-1 method, where you identify 5 things you see, 4 things you feel, 3 things you hear, 2 things you smell, and 1 thing you taste, can help anchor you to the present moment. Grounding. To take that edge off so that you can navigate and deal with those emotions. How do you adapt? Develop a routine. Develop a routine. A structured daily routine can provide stability, which can help be helpful when you're experiencing emotional turbulence. Consistent sleep patterns, meal times, and self-care practices can support emotional well-being. That when your life is out of whack, if your schedule is intact, it can help pull you along. Okay? Visualization and imagery. Visualization techniques can help you to process emotions by imagining a calm and peaceful setting or by visualizing the release of stress and tension. Guided imagery and meditation apps are useful tools for this. This works down into that reframing kind of standpoint, bringing yourself. And you, Pastor, where do you get that? How does that apply? I think that that's supported biblically, right? Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are of any good report, right? Shifting your thinking on things that are going to be beneficial of you. Okay? Support groups and community. Connecting with others who share similar experiences can provide a sense of belonging and understanding. Support groups, whether in person or online, offer a platform to share and process emotions in a supportive environment. A place like workshops where you can sit amongst a bunch of people who are not here just because it's something to do. I don't mean to be all up in your business, but I'm going to be all up in your business. You're in my class, right? Usually if we're here, it's because we probably could sharpen up in an area or two. And look around you. Look around you. You're dwelling amongst the people who all have emotions and need help navigating it sometimes, just like you do. Sometimes the presence of others who are experiencing life sometimes like we experience it can be a help for us. Setting boundaries. Learning to set healthy boundaries with others can prevent emotional burnout. This involves understanding your limits and communicating them clearly to others, whether in relationships, work, or social settings. So you know that setting a boundary starts with you first? Before you can put a limit on someone else, you have to be able to say, that's too much for me. I can't go there. I can't make that connection. That's one more call than I have the energy to make. I just can't take that step. I can't do it. I can't help. Sometimes we think, I got to set a boundary on somebody else. No, sometimes we haven't set boundaries on ourselves. And people overstep because we allow them to overstep. We get overused because we allow people to overuse. And they are not going to respect the boundary that you haven't set. They're not going to keep a boundary that you're not keeping. And we're burning out emotionally because we haven't set good, healthy guidelines for ourselves before we start trying to set them on others. And by the way, if you're realizing that you're not being a good boundary setter, it's probably because you're not setting good boundaries with yourself first. Think about that. Nutrition and hydration. Proper nutrition and hydration play a significant role, right? Significant. We're all interconnected. But play a significant role in emotional health. Eating a balanced diet, reducing processed foods, and staying hydrated can improve mood and energy levels. How much water did you drink today? Your body is 70-something percent water. You don't think that water is necessary for you? And by the way, I'm preaching to myself. It can be hard. I've been carrying around a jug. Anybody else a jug carrier? Yeah, I've been carrying around a jug. I'm scared of it though, Brother Wes. I'm scared of the jug because I gotta go to the bathroom every 5 minutes. I can't be productive.
Thanks for fear.
You're right. I gotta boss up. I gotta boss up and just do it. Just do it. All right? Sorry. Amen. Practice gratitude. How do you adapt? Practice gratitude. Keeping a gratitude journal or practicing daily gratitude exercises can shift your focus toward positive experiences. This can help counteract negative emotions and improve overall emotional resilience. Yeah, you pray to God for you to help through your navigate through all of your circumstances, but when's the last time you said thank you for something? I'm going to praise you, God, for your great and mighty works. What is it? If all you had tomorrow was what you thanked God for today, what would you have? Many of us would be hungry and naked and homeless and walking to work with no shoes on. Just something to think about. Humor and laughter. Laughter has a natural stress-relieving effect. Watching a funny movie, spending time with friends who make you laugh, or reading something humorous can help lighten the emotional load. Pastor Diego Miranda is one of those people for me. I love getting him going. His laugh is infectious. He's hilarious. He's one of those people that he laughs and it fills you. And so that can definitely help. And what's funny is that, if you really want to see what works, because we discount kids all the time, but Kids operate honestly like in our natural state. Do you understand that? Like unbounded. We can learn from them, right? My daughter's having a little meltdown. All I gotta do is grab that little toe and tickle her feet. Daddy, stop it. Right? And she's out of that mood. We still operate those same ways. Maybe you don't want somebody tickling your feet. That's a little weird. I guess the marriage bed is undefiled. I don't know. Sorry. I'm going to move on before I get myself in trouble. Professional development. Engaging in learning and development activities like acquiring new skills or exploring new hobbies can boost confidence and provide a sense of purpose, which in turn can help have a positive impact on emotions. At PCC, we had chapel buddies. So we had chapel every day, and after 3 weeks, they would switch our seats. Well, one day I sat next to this girl, and honestly, I thought she was cute, so I asked her out on a date. And so we went out, and when I say went out, never mind. I'm not going to get into all this PCC stuff. It's all good. All right. Anyway, so we went on a date, and I was just asking her about herself. Tell me about you. And she told me about all these instruments that she can play and all these years of different sports that she's done and a couple languages that she can speak. I'm like, girl, you're amazing. What the heck? And I said, what happened? How did you learn all these skills? She said, every time I went through a dark situation, I made sure to use some of that time to better myself. Yeah, I use that time to better myself and learned a bunch of skills, all right? So sometimes working on yourself can help. And number 12 is probably not a surprise, but practice self-care and rest. Practice self-care and rest. Prioritize self-care and ensure you're getting enough rest. Regular relaxation activities such as baths, massages, or simply spending time doing something you enjoy can help reduce stress and balance emotions. One of my favorite things that I've gotten, it was a gift that was given to me a little while ago, but it's actually a massage gun. And if you ever like played a sport or some of those, they kind of use those to kind of help either help release some of the tension in the muscles or prepare that muscle for usage. Like if you're gonna use it on your bicep before you do curls, it helps to kind of get those muscles activated. And I do spend a lot of my mornings going to the gym or playing basketball. And so I've gotten used to using that gun a lot, and it's become very therapeutic for me to be able to do that as I'm watching it kind of release some of that. Those toxins from my body, it helps me to feel good. I can feel some of the stress. It's become very therapeutic. So being able to figure out something that works for you, I'm a big fan, I'm a big proponent of self-care, because one of the best ways to reduce stress is by fighting it with self-care activities. And what I've learned in the hundreds of people that I've seen since January is that 90% of them have horrible self-care skills. Horrible. Horrible. Oh, I'm about to put y'all on blast. Bow your head and close your eyes real quick. How many of you did something self-care related today? Raise your hand. Today. Okay. How many of y'all did something self-care related in the last 2 days? Put your hand down. Lift your head up. That wasn't bad. It wasn't great. But there's a good amount of y'all that raised your hand. It was pretty cool. But anyway, the moral of the story is this. You gotta recharge. You have to recharge. And if it's only 30 minutes to watch your favorite silly show, then do it. Sometimes walking the dog can be annoying, but sometimes it can be relaxing. The world slows down a little bit. You watch your little pup sniff everything on the, just chilling. Take time for you. Take time for yourself. We'll stop there. Dear Lord, thank you for this day and for your son, for the finished work on the cross. Lord, at some point we have to shift from conceptualization to application. And Lord, I know that in a room this size and with people who will be listening later, that there are people who have been in the conceptualization stage too long and they haven't made enough steps to move forward. Eventually, we have to get up. Eventually, we have to start adapting to what's going on. And Lord, us being more future-minded completely changes the game. Completely changes the game. Because I know who holds tomorrow. And if the lilies, which do nothing, they're here today and tomorrow they're cast into the fire. Lord, if a sparrow doesn't fall from the sky that you don't see, how much more do you love me? How much more do you care? How much more intentional are you? God, I pray that I would actually take you at your word. That I would not just read your word but just be a hearer of it, but I'd be a doer. If not, I risk walking away forgetting who I was when I came. Help us all to apply it and realize that emotional intelligence comes by creating space for us to be emotional, identifying what we're feeling, sitting with those emotions, but also being ready to adapt to what's happening, because it'll pass. They always do. In Jesus' name we pray and we're thankful. Amen.